to make them start at the beginning and play through our pastime's history.
No, that's why I think you should start little off with a healthy dose of Doom.
I think, like...
Doom!
Yeah, like, fuck the Atari 2600. Oh, you mean, like, Doom that just came out this year?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably fine.
She's got to learn somewhere, dude.
Yeah.
She has to learn somewhere.
Yeah, I think, like, good age for that is probably, like, two. Or, like, two started off with Doom.
When do babies start sitting up?
Yeah, I think it takes them, like, a year to do that, right? Like,
No, they can
sit up, but they can't, like, keep their neck straight. They don't have neck muscles.
They could sit up at, I think, 3 or 4 months old.
Okay.
You should know these things.
Evan. No. I'm pretty sure that they can.
You should know these things.
They can sit up, but they can't, like, sit themselves up. At 3 or 4 months, they can't sit themselves up. And no, also,
but they could sit up.
They can't even hold their head straight. They can't even hold their head straight. So it's just, like, bobbing down, you know? Like, you got to give them at least a year to do that. So that's why I got to start them off with, like, I guess, like, a Game Boy so they could just hold it. So she could just hold it. Right? Babies could hold stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think maybe like a Game Boy Advance would be cool.
Maybe even just like skip a few, go to right to the SP.
Rise from your grave.
Episode 234, the premier podcast for all things comic books and sometimes video games. This is Ryan. That's Evan Campbell over there.
Oh, hey, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, Evan?
What's going on?
Hey, buddy. Hey, why do you sound so far away from the mic?
I'm walking around trying to catch Pokemon right now.
Ah, jeez. Yes, this is Indestructible Art. Usually there's three of us. I should say usually, because it's been a while since the three of us were all on the show, but one Omar De Armas could not make it this episode. He is at home battling the avian flu.
I can't keep, it's like 50 pidgeys. I'm just going to sit down. I'm putting this away.
Evan, 50 pidgeys already.
All I can find by my house. It's the worst.
Oh, Evan, welcome to the show, by the way.
Oh, hey. Oh, yeah, we're doing this?
I'm glad you can, stop Pokemoning. Is that, is that what the kids call it? Is it like a verb? Like Pokemoning?
I'm pretty sure it's Pokemon going.
I'm glad you could stop Pokemon for 5 seconds to do a podcast with your best friend.
Dude, I'm so pumped to be doing the podcast right now. I feel like it's been forever.
It has been a quick minute, Evan.
We were separated at sea, and we somehow found our way back to a deserted island.
Yes. So quick note here from the editor-in-chief.
Editor-in-chief.
Quick note from the EIC.
Oh, so you, like, have a note from the EIC, and you're going to read it for us.
Yep. Quick note for myself, Evan. Boss. The boss of this podcast. Yeah, hey, we apologize for our lack of podcasts these last few weeks.
Uh-huh.
Things have been incredibly busy here at the Indestructible Art offices. We've been doing some remodeling.
I worked through the entire Steam summer sale. I did not even know that it happened. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, Evan also does not know the title of the new Legend of Zelda, by the way.
I have no idea. This is unprecedented.
True story is, I talked to Evan before the podcast about, I saw this video for Breath of the Wild, and he's just like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, God damn it, Evan, really? He's the video game guy. So on behalf of the Indestructible Art staff, as the boss, I realize that's my mistake for letting these clowns steer the ship the way they've been steering it these past few weeks, and I apologize. Jeez.
I could have got Doom for $35, Ryan.
Yeah, you should have.
I could have got Stardew Valley for $12.
Just real quick, before we go any further, I just want to say that Doom is probably Game of the Year.
Yeah, I have not played it yet, but it's on.
I'm going to say Doom is probably Game of the Year.
Top of my queue right now. I got to get to that game and play the hell out of it.
It's probably going to be Game of the Year until I play the new. Check this out, Evan. This might come to a surprise for you, for some people. Until I play that new Ori in the Blind Forest.
That's not new. Like, it's the same game. It's the same exact game.
New skill sets, new levels.
New coat of paint. Same car.
Mm-hmm. Somebody say the same thing about other games out there.
Also, isn't that already released?
Yeah, I just have not had a chance to play it yet because I've been too busy running around IA offices getting shit all figured out here, Evan.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Anyways, we...
You mean doing things for the EIC, you mean?
Shut up, Evan. We wish Omar a quick and speedy recovery from his illness. I talked to Omar earlier today, Evan.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Oh, man. He sounds worse than normal.
Wait, you really talked to him?
Yeah, yeah. You know how, like, he's kind of got that deal with his voice?
I thought he had a deal where, like, we're actually not all allowed to talk to each other.
Oh, no, me and Omar talk to each other all the time.
Oh.
We just told you that so we didn't have to deal with you.
I just figured because he's getting so famous, we have our people talk to his people.
It is pretty awesome watching Omar get Twitter famous, by the way.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
I love it because I remember when Omar had like 4 followers.
What?
Yeah, that's how I remember Omar having like 4 followers.
Now you're just making stuff up. But I do remember when we asked Omar to be on the podcast and he said no.
Yeah. I wish you would have said like no and meant it.
We love you, Omar. Come back. Come back to us.
Anyways, hey, we've been gone and a lot of things have happened in the world of comic books and video games. Well, I say a lot of things happen in video games, just Evan is just now finding out what those things are.
Yeah, no, I have. What's a video game?
It's a thing that rots your mind and makes you commit acts of violence.
That sounds awesome.
Speaking of acts of violence, I've heard that this new Pokemon Go is leading, I guess a couple of people have been robbed.
Oh man, people have died, I think.
People are losing their mind over Pokemon Go.
They're using
Pokemon Go to find the location of certain folks and then following them and then robbing them.
You actually can't follow people in Pokemon Go. That's not really how it works. So, the one thing...
Enlighten me, Evan. Because I've read somewhere... I think it was the Drudge Report or Fox News.
Every time something gets this big and this out of control, like the zeitgeist... just for some reason creates all of these threads of like rumors and I don't know, what do you call it? Like urban legends or something. Like the way that information is disseminated across the masses sometimes gets like spitballed into something that's not entirely true. Like you can't see other people in Pokemon Go running around when you're playing the game.
No, but you can track people's locations.
No, you can't really. No, what you can do is in the game there's Pokestops. All right. Where you go to a Pokestop. It's like a park bench or something.
Pokestops.
Yeah, you see it in your app. It shows up. You click it. You go to the Pokestop, and then you spin the little image, and then Pokeballs come out, like a bunch of items and different things you can use in the game.
So at a Pokestop, you can grab some Pokeballs.
Yeah, so if you, let's say if you were a criminal mastermind might think like, oh, I could go to one of these Pokestops and wait for unsuspecting, you know, targets to come by, and then I'll rob them. So that's probably what happened. It wasn't like people are using this app to, like, find children and stuff. No, what they did... Well, I guess in a weird sense, they could be. Because they could set up camp at one of these Pokestops and just wait for people to show up. And, yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy that this thing is happening. It's all over Twitter. It's everywhere. Like, yeah, the big stuff that made it into the news were some of these criminal acts... it's just insane. Like people, I saw a story where somebody had collected all of the tweets about people complaining that their legs were sore from walking around, like trying to capture Pokemon all day, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's actually kind of funny.
Wow. So, so fatties out there getting some exercise and they're complaining about it. Oh, shit.
This game is too much fun. I have to exercise. I don't know. It's cool. It's a really cool phenomenon. It's a rad game. I think it's a little bit basic, and I think a lot of people are looking into it in a way. I'm waiting for a lot of these kind of secrets and like tips and tricks of Pokemon Go to come out, because right now it just seems like Pokemon are randomly generated wherever you are. Like I could just sit in my house and catch like 4 or 5 over the course of an hour or something, and they'll just start showing up, you know? I don't know if like your catch rate or like the rarity rate goes up if you actually walk around, because I've heard of people say like, oh, I walked around the block and I didn't catch anything. There's like different ways you can track Pokemon. Like you can, it's just crazy. It's crazy how the whole thing works, and it's super fun in a weird way. There's like Pokegyms. You can go and you can have one of your Pokemon guard the gym. You can be on different teams and like protect these places. And it's insane, man. It's definitely got me hooked. And being able to play Pokemon on your phone is actually a really good way to play Pokemon, because it's like you don't have to invest like a ton, right? But you get a lot out of it. So I've been enjoying it. Like the zeitgeist and the phenomenon surrounding it is insane, and I'll continue to kind of follow it and see where that road leads. It's a dark road, I think, at the end of all of this. But
you know, I've mentioned it on the show before, Evan. I am a few years older than you and Omar.
Yeah, you missed the Pokemon boat.
I
missed
the Poke Pokemon. Floats. Yes, Evan.
You missed the Poke Floats.
I missed the Poke Floats, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, by the way. Yeah. So I am. To me, all this like Pokemon stuff is like straight over my head. My wife asked me, I think it was actually last night. Her exact words were, "What the fuck is this Pokemon Go shit? Why is it all over like BuzzFeed?"
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, "Oh, it's a Nintendo did like a game for the smartphones."
Uh-huh.
And I was like, "Are you playing that game?" And this is my wife asking me. I was like, no. I'm like, in the 10 years we've been together, have I ever once said anything about Pokemon? And she's like, you better not say anything about Pokemon because you're too old for this shit.
Oh my gosh.
So my wife brought the hammer down.
So and then you went and just read a bunch of comic books, right?
Oh, comic books are better anyways.
I mean, they're probably better than Pokemon Go. I don't.
Well,
I
love video games, Evan.
They're not. What you're about to say is untrue, unequivocally.
So much. But comic books are way fucking better, dude.
The worst video game is probably better than the worst comic book.
The thing is, the worst comic book is still better than the best video game.
No, it's not.
Oh, shit.
No, it's not.
Whatever, Evan. Evan, you don't want to read Aquaman because you didn't like the way the cover looked.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Shallow asshole. You know what? You are a shallow asshole.
I admit, yeah. I'm going to go back.
You're not deep enough to read Aquaman.
I'm going to grow as a person, okay? And I'm going to go back and I'm going to read those books and everything's going to be okay. And if they're not good and you're lying to me.
First off, I'll
be very sad.
First off, I will tell you this, and all of our listeners know this. All of you know this. I do not lie. I have never lied ever. And when I say something is good, it means it's usually pretty fucking good.
Who are you voting for president? Just kidding. Just a question, random.
Where the fuck is this coming from, Evan? This is not a political show.
You said you never lied, but I think for a good half of all of the episodes of Indestructible Art, the running joke that was you were a staunch Republican.
I am a staunch Republican.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that up.
Evan, when you come to my house, I'm going to build a wall. Can't come inside my house or get my comic books. Ask me who I'm voting for. I'm voting for someone with integrity.
All right. I'm sorry. Don't worry about it. I mean,
somebody that understands that we have a problem in this country, Evan. I'm voting for fucking motherfucking Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom.
Or Donald Trump.
I'd probably. I don't believe you, for one. For two, I think that comic books can sometimes be very deceiving. I know we're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but sometimes that just happens. And, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, you know what? People are judging lots of books by lots of covers right now, Evan.
All right.
It's been, like I said, it's been a minute since we've done this show. Yeah. There's been a whole lot of outrage going on right now.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
We got outrage coming out the asshole. Okay? There's so much outrage right now. And I got to tell you, man, right now, if you are a white dude reading comics, you are pissed off. You are mad. You are angry. That's the general consensus of the internet right now. But,
well, probably not every white dude, right? But, like, and it seems to be that these people are white. I don't know. You don't know if you can make that call, but comic book fans are upset.
They are upset. So in the past couple of years, Marvel's been trying to be more, I even hate saying this term, more PC. I don't think they're being more PC. I just think that they're just trying to reach the biggest audience possible by diversifying their brand as much as possible. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think comics should be all inclusive. And I think if you're a person of color, if you're a white dude, if you're homosexual, you should be able to read comics and identify with certain characters, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Sure.
Okay. So in the past year or two, like Marvel's done some things where, like, first off, Thor is now a woman, mm-hmm. right? Wolverine, woman,
mm-hmm.
Hulk, Asian dude,
okay,
Captain America, African-American.
Okay.
Right? So there's all these things that people are, you know, it's like these old, the old guards getting all, you know, upset.
It's a diverse lineup of the, like, modern superheroes.
Yeah. Right now.
But the weird thing is we don't see that reflected in other media, right? It's just in the comic books for now. And I think the scary thing is that all of that stuff is going to revert back. And then you're going to end up where you have all these old characters coming back. I know we have something else to kind of jump into here, but just real quick, how likely do you think that that's going to happen? Because it happens in comics all the time, right?
Yeah, listen, like, remember that time Superman died and then he got better?
Yeah.
Right? Or that time Batman got his back broken and
he got better.
Or that time Peter Parker was cloned and turned out the Peter Parker that we all loved for years and years was really a clone. And then it turned out he got better. See, comic books is all about the illusion of change, right? It's the soap opera aspect. It's the cliffhanger aspect. And that's what's great about these serialized form of fiction, which is comic books.
When
it's good, it's great. Yeah. So the big outrage this week was that even though Civil War II, which is terrible, by the way, it's really bad, and the tie-ins are shit, Marvel has already released plans for their post-Civil War landscape, and they announced they're going to have another Marvel Now! Because the Marvel Now we had 6 months ago was not good enough, and the Marvel Now we had like a year before that wasn't good enough. So we're going to have an all-new Marvel Now.
So this isn't just a continuation of like what Marvel Now that happened? They're going to redo it? Maybe explain this to me a little better.
We got a whole new... Well, no one really knows what the all-new Marvel Now is except for like the big like image that they use to like show the all-new Marvel Now. It's got a banner. It says, "Divided We Stand," right? And on the banner, on the left of the banner... You have characters like Black Panther and Steve Rogers, Captain America, and Gamora and Cable, and Doctor Doom, who's really good looking, right? On one side, and then you got some lesser known characters like Solo, and you know Jessica Jones is on here as well. I shouldn't say she's like lesser known, but Jessica Jones isn't like you know huge.
She's got a show now, right?
Well, before the show, she wasn't considered that huge. And then you have Slapstick, a character from like the early 90s.
A hockey player?
Right? And not a hockey player. It's like a clown-looking dude.
Oh, it's the worst.
And then to the right side, I mean, it's kind of like this old guard of Marvel characters, right? And then on the right side, you have Gwenpool. And then you have Squirrel Girl. And you have Miles Morales Spider-Man. And you have the Amadeus Cho Hulk. And you have Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel. You have all these like youngsters on the other side.
Yeah, that doesn't seem very fair. Like the heroes you just listed off seem like they'd have no problems wiping up the other heroes.
First off, Doom, Dr. Doom has no problem wiping anybody like off the face of the planet, right?
Well, there's right. That,
but
sure.
But there's one character I didn't mention, and this is where the big outrage came this week, and people were really pissed off because even though Civil War II is not over with, it looks like things may not pan out so well for our good friend Tony Stark. Uh-huh. In fact, it's already announced that after Civil War, we'll get a brand new Invincible Iron Man.
That sounds exciting.
It does, yeah. Okay, so Tony Stark is no longer Iron Man? Oh, I wonder who this new man's going to be.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's not a man, Evan. It's a lady.
Right on. All right. I'm ready.
Right, and so here's the outrage. It's a 15-year-old African-American girl by the name of Riri Williams is the new Iron Man. Not Iron Woman, not Iron Maiden, Iron Man.
That's kind of dope. Is there an Iron Maiden character, or is that...
No. Here's the thing is, I think Marvel would love to have an Iron Maiden character, but the band Iron Maiden
right.
owns the copyright and will sue anybody for using it.
Sure, of course.
So
that seems
Williams.
Like a missed opportunity for them. I mean, they could probably license the name and make some money there.
Evan, it's Iron Maiden. They don't need any money. Greatest metal band of all time.
Uh-huh.
So the outrage now is God forbid, we have a 15-year-old girl who also happens to be black, is now Iron Man. A lot of people lost their collective shit this week. And here's the thing, Evan, is I get asked all the time, Ryan, what do you think about this new Iron Man? I mean, come on. I mean, come on. It's no longer Tony Stark. And you know what I say? Who cares? Really? I give two shits. You know why? Because it's not real. It's fiction. It's serialized comic books. And if Riri Williams turns out to be a cool character, cool. Let's see. Listen, I remember Spencer was on the show, and we were talking about Tony Stark and how Iron Man has become like the biggest thing ever for Marvel.
Yeah.
And me and Spencer both liked each other. We're like, it's kind of funny because me and him really didn't like Tony Stark.
Yeah, I remember, like, in the beginning, he's probably...
He's Iron Man before Robert Downey Jr. was a B-level character. Now, I know there's a lot of Iron Man fans out there, and I like Iron Man. Don't get me wrong. I like Iron Man. But he's not this end-all, be-all character. So, look, if Riri Williams can come in and be a rad Iron Man, cool. Let's see how the story plays out. Remember people losing their minds last month that turns out that Steve Rogers was a member of HYDRA?
Yeah. What happened with that?
Second issue, it was all revealed that the Red Skull was tampering with time. And he has the cosmic cube, and he's doing things, implanting false memories.
So he got better, is what you're saying.
No, he's still a secret.
He's still secret Hydra?
Still secret Hydra, but the idea was that Steve Rogers was always Hydra? No, of course the Red Skull had something to do with it. God, but the outrage that came out from, like, all different, like, press sites. And they're not even press sites. These are, I don't even want to call them bloggers, because I'd be giving bloggers a bad name. You have people who don't know shit about comics coming in and trying to add their two cents to stir up controversy and get people all upset and mad without giving any kind of credit to the creative teams or the writers or the publishers. And for those people who write these articles, fuck off. Yeah. Seriously, I read so many articles that just slander the comic book industry.
I think a lot of it has to do with those shitty headlines, too. Just people trying to make those clickbait headlines. Yeah,
and I hate it. Who cares that Iron Man's now a black lady? Who cares that Thor is a woman? Who cares these characters don't exist? And listen, Tony Stark will still be around. Thor, Odin's son, will still be around.
Yeah, those characters aren't really going anywhere. They have so much legacy, and if anything, they put them in their pocket for a while, and they bring them back out, and everybody will lose their minds and be super pumped. But in the meantime, I know, like, we're saying, like, who cares about this stuff? But on the other side, I guess it's actually kind of awesome, right? Like, we're getting these more diverse types of approaches to, you know, characters that are now, you know, donning these mantles of either Iron Man or Thor or whatever. And you get to experience those stories, like, through a whole new perspective, which is kind of awesome.
I just think anything that's going to shake up the status quo, let's do it, man.
Yeah.
The roof is on fire.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We don't need any water. Let the motherfucker burn, Evan.
just burn all of comics.
Burn, motherfucker, burn. No, take risks. Do things. It's crazy because, like, Marvel's on this plan where, granted, I these changes are cool. I haven't really liked the books, right? I'm giving everything a shot. I'm reading everything. And Marvel's kind of embracing this, these new status quos and trying new things. And DC tried that and failed. And now you see DC with the DC Rebirth going back to their roots and playing with legacy and who these characters are. And it's been a massive success for DC. The Rebirth has been great. It's been selling wonderfully. I was talking to the owner of my comic book store about, hey, how's Rebirth doing? He's like, man, I can't keep these books on the shelf. Uh-huh. Honestly, everyone's picking it up. I went and I picked up Green Arrow, Evan. Pretty good.
That's all right.
Pretty good book, Evan. Pretty good book.
Actually, I've got to ask you, because you're saying, like, you know, the new books kind of don't appeal to you. And do you feel like even if these characters weren't changed, that the new books wouldn't? Because I think that maybe people are saying, like, oh, these books aren't as good. But you've been reading comic books for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's been a time in history for every comic book character when the run just, like, gets real shitty.
You
get that one creative team that you're just like, I can't stand anything these guys touch because they ruined Batman that one time.
That happens all the time. My biggest gripe with Marvel right now is there's so many events that the status quo is changing every 5 minutes for none of these characters. I can't get into the stories because they're changing or they're relaunching every 6 months with a brand new number one issue and a brand new creative team. There's no hook. Right? So I don't care that Jane Foster is Thor. I don't care that X-23 is Wolverine or all these other character changes. I just want to see the same creative team on a book for a year. Right? Or maybe not relaunching it before it gets to the seventh issue. For me, Marvel's just killing everything with all these events after event after event. It's like, let me breathe, baby. Let me breathe. I just want to read comics and enjoy just the narrative. And I want to see how the story plays out. I hate when everything's force-fed for events. I do like that new Thor. I think Jason Aaron's done a pretty good job. But, man, I got to tell you, it's just everything is tied to events, or remember, everything was tied to Secret Wars, and I like Secret Wars. It was good. But man, this Civil War 2 is hot garbage.
Yeah. And man, like the other part about the Civil War stuff is it just makes it really hot. Like, if I wanted to start reading Thor books, I don't even know where to start. Like, I don't even know how to find the new Thor books. Like, I don't even know what they're called, and everything just seems like such a mess. And that's true of pretty much any Marvel story or Marvel character, because I think that they're still, I mean, I'm sure they're promoting that stuff in a way, but for new readers, it seems like it's really hard to get into and kind of find that stuff.
It's a bit tough. And for me as a lifelong X-Men fan, it's hard for me to love Marvel right now with what they've done to the X-Men franchise. Like, I hate it.
Is it completely done right now, right? Like, they're not making books?
No, they're making books. The books just aren't very good. And this week, they finally teased the major storyline. It's called The Death of X. Mm-hmm. And it's the fight between the X-Men and the Inhumans.
Okay. So that whole Inhumans thing that was supposed to kick off and be a big deal never really took, huh?
Well, the thing is, not, but Marvel's still force-fitting it down our throats, and my X-Men are still gone. We're Cyclops. Where's Cyclops, Evan? Why is Wolverine still dead? Right? I mean...
Is that stuff happening in the same universe? Like, is in the X-Men books, is Wolverine still gone and it's not
X-23? No, Wolverine, my Wolverine, Logan, is dead.
Yeah.
Right? I like X-23 as Wolverine. That's fine. I don't care. But where's my Logan? You can have X-23 running around as Wolverine. Don't care. But I miss Wolverine. I'm not talking old man Logan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm talking my Wolverine, man. Where's my Cyclops?
Is old man Logan still running around?
Yeah, he's still running around, but that's not my Wolverine.
Oh, man.
Cyclops is dead, but they didn't show it? Charles Xavier's still dead? Oh, Marvel, I know you hate the X-Men, but come on. But listen, comic books are still really good right now. The DC Rebirth got me... Man, I read that first issue of Flash, and my heart was racing.
I read that. You might have to remind me about which one it is, because again, like, it's really confusing. There's two books that say Flash on the cover and have a number one, but I think
yes, you got the Rebirth one shot to reintroduce you to the cast, and then you have the number one issue, which is now the ongoing.
There we go. Yeah.
So the key books, right, all have a one shot. That's okay. Basically like, here's the primer. And then the next issue is the number one issue. Yeah, I can see that's a bit weird, right? But man, $2.99 a book, you cannot go fucking wrong. Especially when Marvel's jacking the price up to $4.99.
You got a good old-fashioned flame war going here.
I hate being that guy that sounds like the DC fanboy right now.
Yeah, but it's sometimes it's hard. Sometimes right? Marvel makes it hard, right?
Hey, do you remember what was it like a year ago? I'm like, man, this DCU is terrible, and I said like this DC convergence was shit.
Yeah,
and,
it was.
And
bad.
Remember, I was like, Secret Wars is so much better.
Yeah.
So before I start getting hate mails about saying I'm a DC fanboy or Marvel fanboy, know this: I love comics.
No, but it happens, man.
If anything, I'm an Image fanboy.
In video games, it's hard too. Like, sometimes it's hard to love Nintendo. They fuck it up. And vice versa. Sometimes it's hard to love those other companies too and they really shit the bed.
I'm finding it harder to love Microsoft right now.
Why is that?
Because there's really nothing good for me to play on my Xbox One.
Your love for Ori doesn't supersede all rational.
It does to an extent, Evan. I am blind. to certain things on my Xbox One, but I'm looking for more exclusives, man.
Yeah.
I know everyone's losing their shit over Red Dead Redemption being backwards compatible.
Yeah, that's a big deal, I guess.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I gotta say that is pretty cool, actually.
Did you want to talk more about Flash before we move on to video games at all?
Yes, it's like God awesome.
God awesome. Grod awesome?
Which is the opposite of god awful.
Yeah. Okay. I figured.
I like it, man. I like it.
Right on. I forgot what happened. Can you give us a synopsis?
Well, Barry is back. Not really back. He's always been the Flash. But Barry's doing normal routine.
Wally's back?
Well, no, Wally's back. But that has nothing to do. It's like Barry's dealing with, like, okay, now Wally's back and something's going on out there. He's still trying to do his day job. And he's distracted about all these other things. And
he's working with Batman.
And all these working with Batman? How awesome is that, by the way? And something's happening in Central City. Those lightning strikes at the end. Remember that? Remember that? The lightning strikes?
No. Wait. Yeah. Is that leading to something else? Like,
yes,
something real big?
It's the Speed Force is going out of control right now, man.
That Speed Force. It's just so wily.
I know. Tell me about it, man. I've been trapped in the Speed Force numerous times, Evan.
How did you do it? How'd you get out?
I had to sacrifice my hair.
I read both Wonder Woman, the primer and the number
What'd
one.
What you
issue.
Think, Evan? What'd
pretty
you
cool.
Think?
Pretty cool. Pretty
Greg
cool.
Greg Rucka on Wonder Woman again, man. Love it.
Yeah. They throw to some interesting things for Diana, right? Like, they mentioned, like, her original boyfriend and stuff too. Or, like, he's a military dude, right? Steve.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, Steve something. Yeah.
But basically, Wonder Woman gets hip to the fact that the world she's currently living in is something somewhat based on a lie. And so she has, like, this crazy Loki helmet, I think, basically. Or, I'm sorry, the God of War helmet. The Ares helmet, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she just crushes it. And she's like, okay, I shouldn't be able to crush this helmet because it belonged to a god. Mm-hmm. So something's not right. And then she basically uses the lasso on herself to start this crazy line of questioning to figure out the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes to Africa and stuff gets crazy.
Mm-hmm. And she's got a brother out there.
She has a brother out there. Yeah, like it's like... based on her creation myth, right? She's trying to figure out there's these two different origin stories mm-hmm. of Wonder Woman, and then like trying to which one's real.
I hope they call him Wonder Brother.
Wonder Brother. Wonder,
because really you can't call him Wonder Man.
Wonder Bra.
Wonder Bro.
Wonder Bro. Wonder Bra.
Wonder Bro. What? Wonder Bra.
Wonder Bra.
Wonder Bra. Bra. That shit would be pretty tight, actually.
That would be terrible. But that's pretty much. I got to get to the Aquaman stuff. Are there any other primers and or number one DC Universe Rebirth issues people should be reading?
If you're not reading Superman, you should seriously go fuck yourself. Because, dude, Superman is so much fucking fun, man. It's just like crazy over the top, like action pieces and Doomsday and Luther. And you have Clark Kent, Superman, from the previous 52, the old 52, is Superman. And it is glorious. It is batshit crazy what's going on with Superman right now, and I love it. I haven't had this much fun with Superman since All-Star Superman.
Right on.
And All-Star Superman is probably, like, I would say in the top 10 greatest comic book stories ever told.
Is it all back to normal now? Like, I mean, with the DC Rebirth stuff, I know
characters are coming back. Things are coming back. There's little mysteries being played out. But no. Evan, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Lots of things are happening, man. One of the things that got me really, really happy was that Jean Paul Valley, the original Azrael, shows up in Detective Comics. And, man, that's a character I haven't seen in forever. And you had you had Azrael running around was a different character. But Jean Paul Valley was, like, when I first started reading comics, that was Jean Paul Valley was, like, the really big deal. He was the guy who was going to take over for Batman. Granted, this was, God, over 25 years ago.
Okay.
Oh, my God. What have I done with my life? 25 years of reading comics? Oh, shit. I just lost my train of thought, Evan. My whole world just came down, like, on me. It's like I just beat Bioshock Infinite again.
Right on.
You know where you just question reality?
Yeah. You're like, wait, what?
There's always a man. There's always a lighthouse.
What's the other thing? There's three things, right?
There's always comic books.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
Anyway, Jean Paul Valley's back, and I love it. And so you're getting a sense of legacy. It's returning back with DC, and it's cool. I mean, not everything's, like, fantastic. I mean, but everything so far has been pretty cool and so great because it was a rough couple years there for DC. Not going to lie. There's a lot of shitty-ass books. They gave Rob Liefeld, like, three DC books. Who the fuck does that? And I like Rob Liefeld. I mean, I like him as, like, a personality for comics, not as a creator.
Not as a comic book creator?
But as a comic book personality, I love Rob Liefeld.
Too many pouches, huh?
Not enough feet.
Not enough feet.
Too many pouches, not enough feet.
I know you're pretty twisted about what's going on with all the Marvel stuff, but I do have some video game news that might cheer you up a little bit.
Oh, did they finally announce Ori and the Blind Forest 2?
No, they some studios started a System Shock remake Kickstarter, and it's going to be fully immersive in VR. The creator, the spiritual predecessor of the BioShock series is getting a remake. Just crazy cyberpunk game that you play in virtual reality. I know Omar is probably thrilled to the gills, if that's an expression.
I don't think he is, though.
No?
Omar likes VR, but Omar doesn't like horror games.
But he likes BioShock, right?
Does he?
Doesn't he?
I think he was put off by BioShock, if I remember correctly.
I thought I was the only one who didn't like it that much.
Wait, was it you?
Yeah, it's probably me.
Wait. Evan, you didn't like BioShock?
Infinite? Not that much.
Did you
beat the ending was phenomenal, but the gameplay part I was not super pumped on.
Vox populi, bro. I mean, Evan.
I think a lot of the storytelling and the messaging in the game is a lot better than the actual game itself is.
Oh God, Evan. Why do you do things like this?
Because the gameplay mechanics that they reused from the other BioShock games weren't all that incredibly new. And I didn't feel like, I mean, it's like, okay, we're back in the saddle and that's fun, but it wasn't like this crazy, I don't know why it works for me in things like Uncharted, right? Where that do that and it's like the gameplay doesn't really change that much. It does. I think it does in a lot of ways.
The gameplay, look, it was more polished, and plus the introduction of the Skyhook for quick travel. Skyhook is cool, man.
The Skyhook is cool.
The melee attacks were way better. Oh,
but you want to do some dope skyline battling? Go play Sunset Overdrive because it's way better in that game.
You're out of your fucking mind. I played Sunset Overdrive and thought it was boring as fuck.
Dude, you can go across the entire world of that game without touching the ground.
Who cares?
It's amazing, and it's like I
can play Tony Hawk and do a manual grind for a whole entire, 3 minutes I'm playing the game. Who cares? God, Evan, I feel like you and I are really, drifting apart.
I don't know. There's some things I like about BioShock and some things that just really don't appeal to me.
Anyways, I'm sorry. I totally sabotaged your System Shock Kickstarter news.
Nah, that's all right. I'm done. Because I don't know, the only person who's really probably super excited about it is Omar because of the VR element, and I probably can't do it justice, so he'll probably talk about it when he comes back next week or whatever. They did a dope Kickstarter video for it. It was like a kid playing the game, and then he kind of gets sucked into the world. It's great. It's really good. You should watch it.
I will watch it. I'll put a link in the
show notes. But if you really, really want to feel better, I have been reading more comics, so we could talk about that.
I like that you're reading comics, by the way.
Yeah.
I feel like you're growing as an adult, and maybe... Maybe we're coming closer together now.
I've been reading more Preacher, and that's all right. That stuff's okay.
Okay. So you're reading Preacher. Are you watching the Preacher show?
No, I'm not. I heard people are a little bit upset about it.
Ah, that's okay. It's not bad, but it's okay.
I've been seeing a lot of people just saying, they should have done it closer to the books. But is that what people really want? Because isn't when Game of Thrones gets real good is when it doesn't have to rely on the books anymore?
Well, it's tough. It's tough. Usually the books are better. In Preacher's case, yeah, the book so far is better than what I've seen of the 7 or 8 episodes have been on so far.
Not just books, but any source material is just better, right?
Right, yeah. No, it's generally much better. Just because, books are so transformative, where you when you're reading a book and you see how things are played out in your head, and you have this idea what these characters look like or how they sound, and then you see them portrayed, live action, and you're like, whoa, that was totally different than I thought. And a lot of times books can't really, or the movies or TV shows can't squeeze in all the little nuances from the books.
Mm-hmm.
But, Preacher's just like a real slow burn so far. The whole point of, the comic was kind of like this road trip.
Yeah, it definitely does feel that way.
And the show is very stationary.
I see. So they're still just in that same town, the first town?
Yep.
Has he gotten his powers yet?
Oh, he's got his powers.
Oh, okay. Weird.
And it's
crazy. Yeah, that is really
like,
weird. Yeah.
Because, like, my wife's been watching with me, and I think she likes the show because we watch it together. And she's like, I still, you know, it's like 6 or 7 episodes in. She's like, I still have no idea what the hell is going on.
Oh, man.
And me, like,
I didn't realize it was that far.
I'm like, my thing is, like, I know what's going on because I read the comics.
Yeah.
But if I didn't read the comics, I don't think I would know what the hell is going on. But we'll see. We'll see. It got renewed for a second season.
Right on. Well, that's cool. Are you excited about Mr. Robot stuff?
Yeah, I know Mr. Robot doesn't fall within the parameters of our show. It's it's not a comic book, nor is it a video game or a property based on a comic book or video game. But Mr. Show has become a quick favorite here of the Indestructible Art staff. So I could talk about Mr. Robot all day long because it's weird that it's a show that's on the USA Network, which the USA Network usually like sucks.
It's like what your parents watch, right?
Yeah, it's like CBS, right? It's like, oh, who the fuck watches CBS? I don't know anybody who watches CBS, by the way. You ever seen one of those CSI like Miami Navy shows?
No.
Nah, neither have I. I don't know anyone's ever seen one, but it's like the most watched show on earth.
Miami Navy show.
I think it's like Miami Navy CSI Special Victims Unit. MD. PD.
Yes.
So Mr.
Rescue.
Yes.
Add rescue to the end of that.
Yeah, rescue. Order. Wife.
Master.
Yeah, master. Blue blood.
Yeah.
But Mr. Robot is pretty awesome for being on the USA Network. It's something that you would think you'd see on, like, I don't know, like HBO or like AMC,
yeah.
Or fuck, even FX, maybe?
Hmm.
But Mr. Robot's a pretty good show, man. I'm pretty pumped on that second season coming out. Like, what's going on with F Society? Especially after that last, like, cliffhanger. When basically F Society brought down, like, erased everybody's credit and debt. When they fucked over E Corp.
E Corp. Oh, that's rad. I know, like, I've just been hearing a lot of people say very, very good things.
Wait, have you seen
Mr. Robot? No, I haven't watched it yet.
The what? God damn it.
I just asked you because I know that you're stoked on it. And I figured it crosses over into our nerd realm at least a little bit.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, it's cool.
And
man.
The things people have been saying are like, oh, best television show in years. Like, just crazy positive compliments about that.
It's really good, man. Like, it's weird. Like, I feel like I don't watch that much TV, but then I feel like I watch all the right TV. Does that make any sense, Evan? Like, yeah. I don't watch a lot of TV, but when I do, man, it's like the best of the best.
I catch what you're pitching.
It's like when I play video games, Evan. I may not play video games all the time, but when I do, I don't fuck around.
Do you want to do picks of the week?
Picks of the week, yeah. Evan Campbell, what is your pick of the week?
Like I said, I've been reading a lot of comic books. My pick of the week this week is going to be Clean Room, which is a Gail Simone joint. I think I've picked it before,
nice.
But every time I pick up some of these books, they kind of grab me in a weird way. They're strangely about a weird cult that has enveloped a lot of Hollywood into like almost like Scientology, you would think, where they talk about aliens and like weird, crazy stuff, right? But then it turns out that there might be some realness to the things that they're talking about, not in the way that you would think, like if somebody told you Scientology is real. I guess it's not quite like that, but what if like some of the things in Scientology were real, and they use the cult as like a guise to kind of recruit people to help fight like a secret war. It's kind of insane, and that's kind of saying a lot, but like once you get into the books, it makes a lot more sense. And at the same time, the books are also kind of about like mental trauma and how you kind of deal with it. And it's just super interesting, I guess, to pick up and read.
I love the fact that you're reading it. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, you should check it out. I don't know if it's your cup of tea necessarily, but you kind of like psychological type thriller things. And
I know that's what I would call this podcast, actually.
Weird monsters and shit. Yeah, psychological thriller. Indestructible Art, a psychological thriller.
Yes, I like Gail Simone, so I will, you know, it's one of those things, it wasn't off my radar, I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to read this in trade, I think it will look really good on the bookshelf.
Yeah, probably, there's some messed up things in that book. some twisted, messed up things. Just warning you. I know you're no stranger to that, though. What's your pick of the week, Ryan?
My pick of the week is kind of me going back to the vault, Evan.
Uh-huh.
The vault's going way, way back to a simpler time.
Oh, Ryan's Mysterious Long Box, you mean?
Kinda. These would be books that would be in my Mysterious Long Box, but I got the collected editions about all three volumes.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't read these books in a long time. But there was a point in time, Evan, when Brian Michael Bendis was well liked, and people loved Brian Michael Bendis, and people like him now, but a lot of people really aren't digging Bendis the last like couple of years. There's a lot of hatred thrown towards Bendis, and some of his books have been hit or miss, yes. But there was a time when Brian Michael Bendis was writing a little book called Daredevil, and ooh. Brian Michael Bendis's Daredevil book with Alex Malev is, for me, one of the like best runs on a character ever. So I went back and I got the definitive ultimate collections of their whole entire like 60 or 70 run like run. Yeah. So I got three trades that collects all of their work together, and it is masterful and it still holds up for a book that's probably about, you know, 10, 15 years old.
Dude, that's sick.
I went back and, dude, like Alex Malev's art is so surreal and just so visceral. And just the way his shadows and the lights and the blacks. And Ben just doing what he does best. And that's gritty, like, street-level crime noir stories. And taking Daredevil and just turning the character, like, on its head. Like, the best Daredevil stories are the ones where Matt Murdock, his life is, like, torn apart. Like, honestly, like... That's the best thing about Daredevil. And I said this before on the show. When me and my wife were watching the Netflix Daredevil TV show, we watch it, we finish it, and I look at my wife, I'm like, what do you think? She's like, that was pretty good. Daredevil's kind of like, he's kind of lame. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, he gets his ass kicked all the time. Batman doesn't get his ass kicked. And I'm like,
yeah, oh, well, sure he does.
I'm like, well, Batman does, but not to the extent that Daredevil does, right?
Sure.
And that's what's so good about Daredevil. It's like, as hard as he gets hit, he gets back up. And like, it's like he's the ultimate underdog, and Bendis writes him as that. And Bendis does some crazy shit during his arc with Daredevil, like outing him.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
That seems rough.
Right? Or the very Shakespearean death of Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin.
Oh, boy.
There's all types of crazy, tragic turns and introducing a new love interest. And, oh, man, it's so good. Like, it's funny because it was Spencer Carnage, former host on Indestructible Art, who actually got me into Bendis' Daredevil run. And I'm forever grateful to Spencer Carnage for that. But my pick of the week is the Ultimate Collection, Brian Michael Bendis, Alex Malev's Daredevil Collection. You can get it on Amazon or InStock Trades. Pretty good price. I think they're like $30 each, but you can get them cheaper than that. But yeah, I got all three, and I read them all like nonstop. Amazing.
Dude, that's rad. Yeah, I've been meaning to go back since watching the show. I've been meaning to go and read some really good Daredevil books that you've recommended in the past. I just haven't quite gotten there yet.
Honestly, the Daredevil Ultimate Collection by Alex Malev and Brian Michael Bendis, it's like three books. Each book is, I think, like, I want to say maybe like maybe 20 issues each. So, I mean, it's kind of dense, and plus it's Bendis, so it's very wordy.
Uh-huh.
But really, really good. Like, the deconstruction of Matt Murdock. And those are the best Daredevil stories. They really are. The ones where Matt just falls on his face and you want to see how he gets back up.
Dude, that sounds up. I'm going to read that for sure.
Honestly, go pick it up. I've never been wrong and I've never lied. I have never lied.
Uh-huh.
So, Evan, I think with that, I think we're going to put a wall around this episode.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I got to go walk around and catch some more Pokemon, so.
Yes, yes. And to Omar Diarmas, get well.
Feel better.
Get well, good friend.
Feel better, dude.
And if anybody likes tweeting at Omar, tweet at him that you want him to feel better. Because you miss him on Indestructible Arts. Because
yeah.
I know that we miss Omar.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And tweet him embarrassing things, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what that could be, but
yeah.
Use your mind. You figure something out.
That's going to wrap up this episode. Please make sure you check out indestructibleart.com for our past episodes, articles, and links that pertain to the topics we covered this episode. You can also send us questions via Twitter. Hit us up at pixelsthepanels or you can email us directly at podcast@indestructibleart.com. So on behalf of Evan Campbell and Omar, who probably isn't really sick and is probably doing Pokemon Go, he's Pokemon going.
He's running across the country in his bare feet.
You think like he's doing this? He's like, Pokemon!
Dude, I do that all the time. I just sing the song. I think like, who's that Pokemon? And then I try to guess. But I don't know shit about Pokemon.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, we know you got lots of podcasts to listen to, but you choose to listen to ours. And Evan Campbell, that makes you what?
Indestructible.
It makes you indestructible. Hey, maybe we'll see you next week. I don't know.
Maybe we. Thanks for listening to the show.
Maybe we'll get our heads out of our asses and we'll be back on a regular schedule pretty soon.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Hey, just in all seriousness, everybody be cool to each other out there, man. We live in a crazy world.
Shit, yeah.
We live in a crazy world. Everybody be cool. Be nice.
Empathy is your friend.
What would Spider-Man do, man? Be cool.
What? Yeah.
Right?
Stay frosty. Stay cool.
What I did see was that, I think it was an IGN video, but I saw it on YouTube. 77 things that they found in the Breath of the Wild trailer.
What's the Breath of the Wild?
God damn it, Evan.
What?
The new Legend of Zelda, buddy.
Holy shit, really? What it's called?
What the fuck is going on with you? We had this conversation last time we did the show.
Oh, man. I didn't think it had a name at that point.
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
77 things that they notice on just playing the demo.
Okay.
That's cool. Whole lot of cooking.